Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place for everything related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring you a very special guest, somebody that actually I've been following for a while now. He's like a mentor in the industry. Stephen Pope, founder and CEO of My Amazon Guy, also one of the top agencies in the space. And the reason why I wanted to bring Stephen today is we know in the Amazon space there's so many things that sellers are always asking, like things around the PPC space, like how to do certain negations, how to do certain PPC structures, how to improve conversion rate. What is actually AI doing to your business? Does it make sense to go fully AI, or is it actually damaging your business? These are some of the topics I feel are going to be some of the very interesting conversations we're going to have. And I'm sure Steven is going to drop some bombs as usual. So, Steven, it's a pleasure to have you finally in the show. How are you doing, my friend?
Thank you for having me on. And hopefully the bombs don't take out too many seller support reps along the way, because their seller support sucks. No, just kidding.
Now I'm banned. I'm banned from the industry. Thank you for that.
Just you're kidding. Welcome. But
really, So, Steven, just give us a brief introduction for those that, you know, live under a rock and might not know you. Tell us a little bit about you and, of course, your agency, and then let's have into the conversation.
Sure. Yeah. So we run $1.2 billion annually on Amazon with the 400 brands that we represent at My Amazon Guy. And I put out content by the hour, not by the day, but by the hour at MAG. And it's lots of fun to just help everybody, because my personal motto is leveling up life to accelerate prosperity to the world. And I think that education is ideally the fastest way to do that. You know, I've created 557 jobs, and I'm just a big fan of the Amazon opportunity, but I also like to criticize the bad policies that Amazon has while giving the tips to Amazon sellers to narrow their focus so they can leave us podcasts with immediate tips to go grow their account. Because as an Amazon seller, there's a thousand things you can do, but there's only realistically two or three things you can do a day. And that's what we'll talk about today.
Yeah, I agree. I think, unfortunately, and we're seeing that in the space, like Amazon's really going tough on sellers. You know, it's like they are really putting the hammer on us in terms of the fees, in terms of, you know, the limitations we're getting every single day. It's getting tougher than ever. But I think I agree with you. Education is really the only way we can, you know, navigate those obstacles. And the fact that, you know, people like yourself put so much knowledge out there is definitely helping so many sellers that otherwise they don't have really a source of, you know, knowledge that they can go and basically relate to basically make a decision in their Amazon business, you know. So talking about that and about, you know, knowledge and things that sellers are really looking to dive deeper and really understand how to figure out that for their business. Conversion rate has always been an interesting conversation, because we all know that conversion at the end of the day is really what matters the most. You can have the best PPC strategy in the world, right? But if that traffic essentially goes to waste because you haven't done a very good job to convey the consumer and make them pretty much understand that your offer on the table is the best one they can get out there, you're going to lose that trust. And then the brand, of course, is not going to eventually grow. So tell us a little bit about what are some of, you know, the things that you've been doing with your brands and yourself personally to really increase that CTR and really, you know, be able to get that momentum going and scale a brand forward on Amazon.
So let's first establish how good conversion rates are on Amazon as a default thing. 10%. If you were on a website, you'd be lucky to have a 1 to 2% conversion rate.
Yes.
So this is why Amazon PPC is so attractive, because even if your listing is average, you still convert 1 out of 10 clicks. That's pretty remarkable, right? Like, compare that to Facebook or Google ads pushing to a website. You'd be lucky to get 1 out of 10 And even if you did, it would cost you more to acquire that client and customer through a website. So this is the first thing I like to establish, is that conversion rate is already high on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if you know conversion rate is already high on Amazon, where should you prioritize your time? And I think a lot of sellers over-index the aesthetics of their listing. Now, I am going to give some tips on how to make the listing convert better, but I like to set this up in a way where I basically say, for every one design thing you do, you need to go do 10 traffic things.
Yeah.
And really spend 10 to 1 ratio of your time. And the nice thing about this, though, is that click-through rate is the marriage between the two worlds, because when you improve click-through rate, you improve both your traffic and your conversion. There's a correlation and a relationship that's very strong. But it's simply 10 times easier to double your traffic on Amazon than it is to double your conversion rate. So having said that, let's dive into some design tips. So first thing I'll mention is premium A-plus content and brand stories have been overlooked for the last 2 years. And if you haven't upgraded to premium A-plus content, if you haven't published a brand story yet, you're missing out. Yeah. And there's some SEO integrations in that design. So I added up what's the maximum number of modules or products you could link just in the brand story alone. Okay, this is the module that sits at the top of enhanced brand content. It's below the fold. But the nice thing about brand stories is it's horizontal real estate. And so the consumer is already programmed to click horizontal ads right next to the brand story. So it behooves you, especially if you've got, you know, 5 SKUs or more in your brand. Let's say you got 100 SKUs. You need to list every single product in your brand story. Why? Because everybody knows cross-linking is beneficial to SEO. Everybody knows putting alt text and SEO code behind each photo is beneficial to SEO because it indexes on Amazon. And so if you put 96 modules and they all link to each other, 96 times 96 is 9,200 links that you can build. 96 photos being loaded to your brand story times 100 characters of alt text is 9,600 text codes in your brand story. Now times that by 96 different ASINs, let's say you have 96 ASINs. Okay, now we're at 921,600 alt characters of SEO code. So now somebody who's a mathematician but sitting on this and hasn't, you know, built out their brand story is now realizing very quickly, oh my gosh, I've left a lot of sales on the table because I haven't coded my brand story. And that was just the brand story. We haven't even talked about enhanced brand content proper.
Yeah. Right? Yes, I know. It's super powerful. In fact, this is a question I saw a lot in the community. People, for whatever reason, they think that A-plus content is not as important as the title and bullet points, so they don't really invest a lot of time into putting the right keywords and everything. And the alt text, most people, what they do, which I have seen when I audit accounts, they just copy paste the same kind of phrase across all the images because they're just really lazy to do a proper strategy. But I'm actually curious to know, when it comes to alt text, what you recommend to those sellers? Because as I said, most people put trivial things. There's really no clear strategy in terms of what things to put in there. But I'm sure you have some kind of SOP high level that you can describe in terms of, do you put there the keywords that you didn't manage to put in on your main copy? You put Spanish keywords, you put misspellings, you repeat some of the main keywords. What is your strategy to really leverage the alt text and not end up what most people end up with, which is just a very generic copy-paste kind of same paragraph across all those different text spaces, you know?
All right, let's keep the numbers going. So an average listing indexes for what, 3,000 keywords? Mm-hmm. And an average title is what, 170 characters? Can you fit 3,000 keywords in a 170 character title? Absolutely not, right? Okay, now your bullet points have 250 characters each, times that by 5. And can you fit all 3,000 keywords there? No, you cannot. And let's say today your listing is only indexing for 1,500 keywords. Mm-hmm. Why might that be? Maybe it's because your competitors are taking advantage of the alt text and the description in your A-plus content and using crawlable text instead of shoving text just in the images, which doesn't help for SEO yet. AI may change that next year. But for now, if you don't have copy outside of images, you're missing out on indexing for more keywords. So indexing means showing up in search. That doesn't mean you're ranking high for it, but it just simply means if you are in the top 300 search results for the keyword. Okay, so indexing for keywords is very good. We do this in SEO phase 1 and 2 at My Amazon Guide. And then during phase 3, we look at strike zone keywords. These are keywords in ranks 20 through 50. When you're ready for this, you typically have 50 keywords in the strike zone. And this is where you're going to use those same keywords in the title, the bullets, the description, the alt text, the search terms, and everywhere else you can possibly manage. And hopefully customers are using them in the reviews. Hopefully you're answering customer questions with keywords when you type out the answers, right? And these things all add up. They all add up. And we could even pepper in some PPC SEO ranking campaigns on top of that. So for example, when I launched a mom box on Amazon, I generated $144,000 in the first 30 days. I didn't do any review gen, no Vine, no giveaways, nothing. All I did was discount my product 50%, got 50 sales. Then I moved the price up 10%, got another 50 sales, moved the price up 10%, got another 50 sales. And I spent $11,000 on PPC during that 30-day launch. And 8,000 of that was spent on a single campaign, one single campaign with one single keyword. And it was a broad match for the term gifts for mom. Gifts for mom, broad match, single keyword, 8K in spend, $11,000 in total PPC. So that means over 75% of my PPC budget was on a single keyword and it was a broad match. And I drove all of that to a product and I was able to rank it for the term gifts for mom, number one, 48 hours before Mother's Day. Wow. And that's how I generated $144,000 in 30 days. And I was able to index the product for 4,000 keywords in the first 30 days. So I have proven results with my own products. I've spent more than $1 million on Amazon PPC just on my private label account, Age of Sage. I also have a retail distribution arbitrage account that I do $8 million a year on. And that's on top of running the agency. So I experiment with my own products. I experiment with my own sales. I have a lot of knowledge. That's why I was the first to speak on the internet about A plus content indexing. Yeah. That's why I was like the first to talk about how alt text has indexing implications and why external links and brand stories have implications. So I have all this data and I basically share all of it, right? And I share it with the community because I have become rich off of sharing knowledge. And that education helps everybody. And I think a lot of people try and hoard that knowledge, but it's not a zero-sum game. If I hoard knowledge, it doesn't help me, right? And so that's kind of my model, and that's why I do what I do. But those are, you know, I'm just kind of trying to drop truth bombs left and right to talk about what impacts you as a seller, because, you know, when you file that case with Jeff Bezos and seller support gives you a copy paste response, no, you can't change your brand name. No, you can't update your UPC code, even though you're supposed to be GS1 compliant.
Exactly.
You can't even get your title to update correctly, let alone your images to stick. And this is why when sellers are frustrated, when they're venting and talking about their challenges with Amazon, I basically tell them, stop worrying about the rules and start worrying about your customers. And this is where I want to transition into click-through rate.
Yeah.
So when we talk about click-through rate, it's really about getting as many clicks as possible. It's about market share. Okay, so I like to call this the ICAP marketing funnel, ICAP, impressions, clicks, add to carts, and purchases. And for those of you who haven't studied your own brand analytics report, you can go into Seller Central, click on your brand analytics report, and you'll see what I call the ICAP marketing funnel on full display. If you know that you have an impression share on a keyword at 5%, but your click-through rate market share is 10%, that means that the customers are twice as likely to click on your product when they see it as compared to the rest of the market. This is a great indication that you have a good main image and you should spend more on PPC and you should probably realistically add that keyword to the main image. So a lot of times people will add a keyword to the packaging. A lot of times people will add a keyword to the title and all of the other SEO elements we've already established. Okay. And if you have the reverse problem, let's say you have a keyword where you have 10% impression share, but only a 5% click-through rate brand share as compared to the market. In that case, you need to work on your main image with a vengeance. And if you spent 10 hours trying to fix your main image, run some A-B tests, whether it's PickFu or whatever else, and had the ability to improve your click-through rate by a point or two, that could drastically increase your traffic by 10, 15, 25% overnight. I did a main image for free for one of my friends, the Happy Me Journal. His original product was a yellow journal, and it was for kids, but you wouldn't know that if you looked at it, right? And so we added a Starburst for kids age 6 through 8. We added the word continuation journal, and we showcased the fact there's cartoons in the middle of the journal right on the main image. And what this did was it allowed the consumer to understand the product instantly. A lot of times people in sales and marketing, they tell, but they don't show. And when you show and tell at the same time, the ability to help the customer understand faster improves click-through rate, it improves your clicks, and it improves your conversion rate. Because it attracts the right person, they show up, then they're like, yep, this is what I was looking for. You show your ideal customer profile, the customer avatar, if you will. And if you're selling a pet product that's for cats and dogs, but you show dogs and you show cats, when somebody shows up, they're like, well, I don't know if this is for a cat or a dog because I see the opposite. Exactly. And so you would want to split that listing in two, have one for cats, you only show cats on that listing, have another for dogs, only show dogs on that listing. And all of a sudden you've doubled your sales. Why? Because the customer is no longer confused, because the customer understands that this is the right product for their animal, and everybody's happy. Then you can show cats on the main image for the cat product and show dogs on the main image for the dog product. And now you're ranking for dog terms on the dog product and cat terms on the cat product, and you've doubled your sales. So when I talk about you looking at market share and using that ICAP report on the brand analytics tab of Seller Central, this is the sort of thing that you can extrapolate down to a keyword level and understand your market share and chase clicks.
Yes. Yeah, I think you mentioned something there very clearly, which is the image at the end of the day is the only vehicle when it comes to communicating really what the consumer is getting and try to convey that experience that they're not going to get, unfortunately, because it's not a physical store, right? You're trying to convince them to an image that you're probably going to bring them the features and it's going to solve the problem that they're looking to solve into their daily lives. So I always say this, like, I feel images is where you should invest most of your time and your money, because if 100%. The image doesn't convey that message, like, the rest is essentially not going to be working effectively. In fact, and I want to hear your take on this, like, some of the things that you mentioned throughout, you know, identifying the conversion rate through brand analytics and all that, I believe it's also the foundation to a successful ranking strategy, right? Because on the eyes of Amazon, if you're really not catching up in terms of meeting the baseline KPIs that your competitors are having in terms of conversion, why would Amazon position you among the keywords when your competitors are having a much better utilization of the traffic that Amazon is sending to that specific keyword, right? So it's all about that. I'm sure you maybe also agree on that, that when it comes to ranking, conversion is the number one metric as well, right?
I think click-through rate is the most important metric on SEO, right? And as we've established, when click-through rate goes up, your indexing goes up because more people clicked on you, and your conversion also goes up. And most people don't realize that correlation on the last part. They assume, oh, if I, you know, keyword stuff and I make my main image have a keyword in it and I add too many accessories, that it will hurt my conversion. That simply is not true. The opposite is true. Your conversion goes up when your click-through rate goes up. So if you don't believe me, you guys can test this yourself. That's what's so great about education, knowledge, and the scientific method. When I was trying to prove to everybody that A-plus content indexes, I would pull the rest of my hair out. I don't have much hair now, but I'm about to go to Turkey to get some hair plugs. And, I'm going to do my little Jeff Bezos transformation. I'm going to come back and I'm going to be swole, ripped and have hair. And everybody's going to be like, who is this Stephen Pope guy? But that's what your listing needs to be. You need to do that to your listing. And you can't be afraid to give a hair transplant on your listing. Like, you got to really embrace it and understand what's going wrong with it. Because you know what? On the dating apps, you're 8% more likely to get clicked on if you have hair as a man, right? And so your listing is 8% more likely to be clicked on if you put the keyword on the main image, right? If you're selling a shampoo for balding men and you put right on the shampoo for bald men, I'm here to tell you, I am more than likely going to click on your listing because all of a sudden I care about having hair. For the last 2 years, I've shaved my head and now I'm like, you know what? I want to look just a little bit more attractive. I want to make a little bit more money in life. And for some reason, I'm convinced that being more attractive will help me make more money and it will make me happier. And I'll look in the mirror and be like, yeah, I like that guy. So your listing can do the same thing. And we haven't talked about the A and the P in the ICAP marketing funnel. So I want to go there next.
Sure.
Add to cart and purchase. So a lot of times people just kind of like skirt over the add to cart metric and they just focus on that purchase a la the conversion. And I'm here to tell you that's a mistake. Here's what. If your conversion dips down from the add to cart ratio, i.e. let's say you have 10% of people that come to your listing and they add it to cart, and only 5% purchase, what does that tell us? That tells us that 50% of people had heartburn. They're like, well, this might be the product for me, but I'm going to keep shopping. I don't trust this product enough. I don't, you know, the reviews, they're not good enough. The reviews are not believable. They look fake. I don't know if I can return this product effectively. It looks like it might not even let me return it. That's what happens to a listing like that. And so for those people who have a conversion problem, they have good click-through rate, they have great impressions, they may even have a good add-to-cart ratio, but if it dips down on the purchase, you need to dedicate probably the second and third image of your portfolio to reassurance, right? So what are the two things that prevent people from making a purchase on Amazon? Friction and anxiety. Friction, you don't really have any control over. It's, you know, one button click, add to purchase, 2 days shipping. These things have been solved by Amazon. So we don't even have to worry about friction. Unless you're doing Shopify sales, this doesn't matter. So anxiety. So how do I know this product is actually going to make my hair grow instead of make more of it fall out? This one dude wrote this really bad one-star review, and I'm not so sure about this anymore. And I don't really know. It burned his skin. Right. So I'm going to bail and I'm going to go with the safer product or the safer alternative. And so what you can do in the second and third image is talk about who this product is for and the directions and how to use it and how quickly the results will come. And maybe show me before and after shots.
Typical and objections, maybe as well, that people
sell mentioned. Right into them. Because sometimes objections aren't really objections, right? Sometimes they're just concerns. Exactly. And a concern can just be an obstacle, or it could be an information roadblock or glut. And so by simply just engaging the customer and talking to them, right? And when I talk about main image hacks, and it kind of is a hack to say add a keyword to the main image. If you sell a supplement and don't show the pill in the main image, I think you're crazy. If you don't have a good color combination, if you try and put blue text on red coloring, you have no design skills, right? Like, if you don't show the accessory, if you have a USB charging port on your technology product, but don't show that on the main image, I think you're silly. If you don't have the keyword for your most important keyword on the main image in full display, like they do with the orange cleaning product that Thrasio got its name off of, I mean, it's a bankrupt aggregator nobody cares about, but their product, the orange cleaner for dog, you know, problems and challenges.
They kill it with that.
If you go on Amazon right now and you look at their packaging, you can barely find the brand name on the package. It's not easy to find. But what you can see is, you know, Angry Orange has odor eliminated. I don't even remember the freaking brand name, but I do remember Orange Cleaner, right? And like Angry Orange is the name of the brand name. And nobody freaking knows any brand name on Amazon. If you quiz 100 people, what was the last item you bought on Amazon? Yeah, and they'll be like dog cleaner or whatever. And then you'd be like, okay, cool. What's the name of the brand? They'd be like, I don't freaking know. The product's orange. But it has this big keyword that says odor eliminator on it. And that's why I bought it. That's why I clicked on it. Right. And that's what Thrasio did. They came in, they watered down the product, by the way. Nobody knows that, but they did. And then they redid the packaging and they just put odor eliminator on it. And all of a sudden sales went up 7X, not even a joke, 7 freaking X by adding a keyword to the main packaging shot. So this is the sort of thing you can do And somebody listening to this right now is be like, but that's against terms of service with Amazon. And to you, I would say, stop worrying about terms of service. Has Amazon's term of service ever helped you? No, it has not. In fact, it's been excruciatingly difficult, and they have double standards, and Amazon doesn't even follow its own standards. So hoo-la, right? Like, here's what you should do instead. Does it help the customer? Yes, do it. No, don't do it.
Exactly.
So if adding a keyword to the main image makes the customer happy, should you do it? Yes. Yeah. If adding an accessory to the main image makes the customer more likely to click it and it makes them happier, do it. Yes. If you don't show a dog for a dog product in the main image, doggone it, you have a problem, right? Like, if you don't show me babies with a baby product, I think you're crazy. That's the number one marketing gimmick in the entire world, is showing a baby or a kitten or a puppy, right? So these are things that are well documented, well proven. All the big brands do this. If you sell a multi-pack but don't have the two-pack symbol on there, if you make a product in America and don't show the American flag, or if you're a German-made product and don't show the German flag, because everybody doesn't want to buy Chinesium garbage products off of, because if they did, they'd go to TikTok shop or Temu or wherever else to get the Chineseium. They want quality. So I know that was kind of a long monologue.
No, I love it. But
I have a lot to say on this.
Yeah, no, I love it. I think you describe, you know, the troubleshooting way of finding out how to fix it so good, in the sense that, you know, it's data driven. I feel a lot of people, and I'm surprised, don't even sometimes know that they can find out this within brand analytics itself, right? So it's good that you went through, you know, all the different steps that you do internally as well to showcase, you know, how you can find the hole in your strategy and how you can essentially do it effective. Now, you mentioned something also very interesting, which is the PPC side of things. And I want to start bringing that to the table now, because you mentioned something that for most people that would be controversial, which is you just launched with a broad campaign and pretty much you got most of the sales out of that. And I'm curious.
At 120% ACOS, I might add.
Yeah.
And that was a good thing.
So tell me a little bit about that. And also, you know, what is your take on negation? Because if it is broad, negation is definitely something that people
have
the concern, how to do it, how to avoid overlap. So tell us a little bit about high level, of course, how you navigated that. Yeah.
Okay, so if you took a PPC course in 2018, they would tell you to do something like this. Create an auto campaign, use it for keyword discovery, and then when you find a good keyword, negate it off the auto campaign and then go make an exact match. Okay. Yes. And by the way, in 2018, that actually did work. But it's freaking 2024. And in 2024, there's been three major PPC algorithm updates, which nobody talks about, by the way. They've changed the UI. There's 80 times different PPC campaigns and costs are up, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I mean, like a decade ago, I was getting PPC clicks for 2 cents a click in the beta program on Amazon for position one, and I was crushing it. I really wish I had the knowledge I have today and the financing I have today to go back in time and freaking launch.
You're doing a yacht right now.
Yeah, like I do it back in time and do it in a heartbeat. But you know, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, and the next best time is today. So let's engage today. All right, so here's my strategy: launch, you know, an auto, launch a broad, launch a phrase, launch an exact, do all of those things. Mm-hmm. But if you know with 100% certainty that a term like gifts for mom, which spikes in a holiday rush, is going to help you, and there's 400 different ways that keyword shows up, then a broad match is going to do quite well for you. Now, if you look at the cost of exact match, it's always higher than broad match. Why is that? It's because the people who are paying for exact match are over-indexing for a singular keyword. And what you find is that on the auto and broad match campaigns, the exact same search term is coming in 20, 30, sometimes even 50% less on cost versus the exact match campaign. And you should never negate a good keyword. This is a hard and fast rule. There is only one or two rules more important than never negating a good keyword with Amazon sales, and that is never go out of stock. That's the first commandment of Amazon.
Yeah.
The second commandment's kind of like the first. No, seriously, never go out of stock. Right. And then after that, commandment number three is never negate a good keyword. And if you follow those three commandments, then you're going to be in for a world of pain avoidance, right? Because the people that go out of stock, they really mess up. They have to redo all of their their launch phase, the honeymoon period, their indexing's down, et cetera, et cetera. So if that's true, why would you get a good keyword? Because the same thing is true about an auto campaign. If you have a keyword that's got 20 sales on an auto campaign at an ACOS that's in your target range, then you negate it and set up an exact match. What happens? All of that data is for nothing. It's reset. And then you're going to overpay 20, 30, 40% more on that exact match campaign to get a worse result. So don't do that. Don't negate.
Will you still move it? Will you still move it? Because I'm sure people are going to ask. Yeah, duplicate it. Exactly. Duplicate on exact match, right? Yeah,
absolutely. And there's a reason for that. Because even though exact match has diminishing returns, it still gets you incremental impressions. So if we knew the term gifts from mom as an exact match would get me incremental impressions and I want to rank on that term, absolutely do it. But here's the thing. I was able to get to position organic rank number one for the term gifts from mom by doing broad match, which fundamentally blows people's minds because they're like, but broad match doesn't help indexing as much as an exact match campaign. And that's a farce. That's a misnomer. Because what they fail to realize that, yes, okay, if we were going to spend $10,000 on an exact match keyword and $10,000 on a generic broad match keyword, then obviously the $10,000 for the exact match is going to rank me on that specific term faster and better than the generic broad match term, because the impressions are shared over hundreds, if not thousands, of other keywords on that secondary campaign. But here's what people fail to realize. It's cheaper to go against the 1,000 iterations of the term, broad match gifts for mom. And what happens is that somebody who is looking for a present for mom, which bought on the term present for mom, still freaking ranks me for the term gifts for mom because the intent was identical. It was a synonym word. And so when you get the sales coming in off all the synonyms, it still ranks you on that exact match term. So, you know, as we've gone through this, there's, you know, we're trying to drop bombs in every one of these areas and try and fix, you know, the knowledge set that people are using that's semi-outdated. And one of the things that I do is I put these all into SOPs. And so I just wanted to let you know that we've created a special offer for your audience. So if you're curious,
go ahead and put it in the description.
Yep. Yeah. And this is to get a discount on our SOP program. And all you have to do is go to myamazonguy.com/ecommerce. Right. Just like the domain, you know, from the show. And you're going to see a special offer there. It's limited for your audience only to get discounts on SOPs. If you want to know how we negate keywords, there's an SOP on that. If you want to know how to improve your click-through rate, there's an SOP on there. There's
over
500 different SOPs. If you're an agency listening to this, no problem. You can still buy. I don't mind. 45% of my customers are agencies on SOPs.
Love it.
And so, you know, it's all of us against Amazon, right? Like, it's not me against you, other agency. It's not me against some other brand out there. It's all of us against Jeff.
The giants.
You know, let's go to fight. 1-2 punch. Let's beat them up together, because if we don't team up, we're going to lose. We're gonna lose big time, because these, you know, Amazon's monopoly. It's freaking half the American economy. It's growing in Europe. It's a big behemoth, and you can't wrestle with an 800-pound gorilla without a tag team.
Exactly. Now, to start coming towards the end of the episode, something I want to quickly bring to the conversation is AI, because it seems that now Amazon sellers think that they can just click a button, their business is gonna make millions of dollars, and they can go to the beach. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, if you want to run your business into the ground, by all means, try and click the easy button, right? Like, the AI is so overrated. We're in the top of the first inning right now with AI. Yeah. Yes. Is it better than Google search right now? 100%. Yeah. Google search is atrocious. It gets worse every year. And we could talk about censorship and how Google is purposely making us dumber. But let's sidestep all the politics and basically just indicate the fact that AI is better at giving me what I want than a search result. Okay, yeah. And who wants to look at all the Google paid ads when they do
of
that,
course,
right?
Of course.
Now, can AI look at a bunch of data and help me get a brief overview faster than me looking at the data myself? Yeah. Chances are, yes, especially if you're not a data analyst and you have a big Excel file or Google sheet of data and you just want to know, like, cursory, give me the 80% nugget. AI is going to help. And the last thing I'll say that AI is good at is chopping up information into bite-sized nuggets to plug and play it. So, for example, do I use AI to set my alt text code for my 96 different photos. 100% I do. And that's because I can basically export a Cerebro report out of Helium 10 or a Jungle Scout SEO report or whatever else out there report, and then plug and play AI to just, you know, create the alt text. But here's the thing. When Amazon was on stage at Accelerate in Seattle last week, they were showing products with potential trademark infringements in the title on their live stage.
I was there. I saw that, yeah.
I'm going to sidestep whether it physically was or was not a trademark infringement. Like, I think it's in the gray zone on this particular example. But here's what I will say to you. If Amazon is telling you, trust our AI and we'll never yank your product, they're full of shit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because you and I both know we can't trust Amazon. We can't even trust seller support to give us a non-copy-paste, nonsensical answer, right? Like, so you have to protect yourself and do not trust AI with copy. You can't trust AI to run your PPC. You can't trust push-button robots because, you know, there are very narrow focused things that AI is good at. We've established that, but they're not good at strategy. If they were, none of us would have jobs. I would be out of business as an agency. And I did have a customer the other day. They're like, "Oh, I saw Amazon's presentations, and you know, is your agency going to exist in 2 years?" And I was laughing so hard. And I sent them a LinkedIn post about the potential trademark infringement from the AI. And I kid you not, the dude signed a contract within 15 minutes of me sending that email. And he's like, "Why did I go to this conference? It was such a waste of time. I could have stayed home and." You know, hire an agency and cost less than visiting a conference and all the time suck and everything else. I don't want to toot my horn too much. So I'll just say this. AI has a narrow focus. We're in the first inning. Give it time. Yes, Star Trek beam me up, Scotty is on the horizon, but it's 100% overrated today. Everybody's sick and tired of hearing about it. And if you want real solutions, it actually takes tenacity and grit. And I think the Amazon sellers listening to this 30 minutes deep understand that, because that's what kept them in business. Why did the aggregators fail? They dumped $7-11 billion.
They tried to automate everything. Yeah.
They failed and they tried to bring in business suits and Excel wizards and automations. Mm-hmm. And what happened? They freaking violated commandment number one. They went out of stock on their best sellers. Mm-hmm. And the brands that were watching their, you know, like the owners of the brands that had these babies and they sell their babies over to Thrasio, indentured servitude brand, whatever. And then they see their brands fall apart and they're like, holy crap, why can't you just freaking restock the best seller? This isn't rocket science. And it's because you can't run an Amazon brand in Excel. You have to run it with tenacity and grit. You can't run it on AI. You can't run it on Jeff Bezos promises that they won't yank your listing, right? You have to be able to get up every single day and put on the Rocky theme song and run up the 2000 steps to the lost city in Colombia. And you have to freaking go find the resource. Yes. You have to go out there and punch your way to success. So that's my mantra and peace out.
Love it, Steven. So thank you so much, man. It's been such a great episode. We touched some of the most, troubled thoughts that people are having in terms of Amazon. And I think, you know, this is going to bring a lot of insights and value to Amazon sellers. So I appreciate your time. And for people that, you know, want to work with you and your agency, how people can find you?
Just myamazonguy.com. I also hang out on LinkedIn if you want to send me a DM or YouTube. Come watch all the content. And make sure you guys subscribe to the E-Commerce Lab, guys. This dude has put out 250 episodes. You have any idea how hard it is to put out 250 podcast episodes? This dude is a pro. Send him an email and tell him how much you appreciate him because of the amount of sacrifice he has made to put out content. And probably sat through at least 100 boring episodes to get new guys, the special ones out there, right? Like it's a lot of work to put on podcasts.
Hit that subscribe button. Yeah. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. It's been a pleasure and see you hopefully at upcoming events. Yeah. Have a nice one, bro. Okay. See ya.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomc.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomc.